That's all it does. It tries to control your flesh. That is all religion does. Christ comes in and says, here's a free will. I want you to choose. That's why we were told in the Bible, choose you this day whom you will serve. And, you know, when we get the revelation of the victory we do have in Christ over things, you know, just as Evel Knievel said, you're not a loser unless you don't try to get up. You know, and again, we did laugh because, you know, most of the times he either had broken legs or something of that nature. But yet, you know, inside he always wanted to get back up if he was conscious. He always wanted to get back up and get back on the bike. You know, we always get back up. We get knocked down, we get back up. If you get knocked down, it just means you came up against something pretty hard. Reevaluate and come at it again. Figure out how you and Christ are going to bring that thing down. You know, we can sit here and point the fingers at all the things, but what we're going to learn today about the Holy Spirit and the discerning of spirits, when you attack the right thing the right way, things happen. We've been talking about this drug trade stuff over and over and over, and I just read where there's a big cocaine bust. I think it was just in the state, but it was, I forget how many pounds of cocaine were taken off. So, you know, we're talking pounds, big, it was a lot. We're going to start seeing the illicit drug trade come down. Not because, you know, we got to pray for the police officers and the people who are dealing with that on that realm. That is a realm that has to be handled. But we take care of the spiritual side of this house. They can do it safely. And people's lives can come back together. So don't ever think for 1 minute, well, this situation's hopeless. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if we start praying for Washington, D.C. and address the right things, watch this country turn around. Both sides are wrong on a lot of stuff. So don't sit there, well, it's all that other, nah, baloney. It took two to tango, let's get real. It always takes two to mess it up. That's why anytime somebody, well, you know, we want to talk to you, but we're going to get a divorce. Well, I want to talk to both of you. I won't ever listen to just one side of the story. There's two sides to every story. And when we realize, hey, maybe I did have a little bit in that. And, you know, I know a lot of times there's other there's other circumstances. Yeah. But we will rise. We will rise to be the people that God created us to be. Victorious, happy. That means blessed folk, blessed is the best way to put it. You know, we say, oh, we're blessed. You have a blessed day. You really have no idea what you're saying. Blessed means happy, joyful, to be envious. So when you're saying have a blessed day, put the smile on your face when you walk out the door. Don't go, oh, man, I got to go to work. Man, you know how nice it is? They're releasing the trout down at the lake today, which they're not going to this year because we don't have a lake. Well, there's always another time. There's always something else. Find something to be joyful about. I'll get into too many other things today, and I don't want to.
I have something to say. When I first came here, I had no place to live. I was staying where I could. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a job. I've got a place now where I've got a roof over my head. I got my car, and I got a job that I got on March 6th. I started, and it was from all the praising and praying to Jesus and
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. See, folks, trusting God when nothing seems like there's any hope, you still trust God, and He'll move, won't He, Sally? Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Father, we thank You and we praise You for this day. Lord, we thank You for each and every day. But Lord, we thank You that today we can come together as brothers and sisters in Your name. We can join together, we can praise Your holy name, and we can do this in a free country. Lord, we thank You for this country. We bless it, Lord. And Father, we continue to pray for our leaders, whether we like them or not. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to bring our tithes and our offerings to You. Lord, bless them. You see that it is the sweat of our toil and sometimes even the blood that was shed. I thank You and praise You for it, Lord. I bless it. And Father, we pray for those today that are not here because they are sick. We bless them, Father. Bless those who are working. Bless them, Lord God. Help them to recover. Heal their bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated this morning. The super kids are dismissed. Whew. It's warm. Jesse, turn on the fans. Yes, on. I'm sweating up here. Okay, there ain't nobody. Y'all know I carry, so I got to take this thing off. I'll just try not to turn my back to you. How's that? Well, I was telling you last week we were going to start talking more about, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the role, you can bring Him down just a little bit. The building will start lifting. We get too much airflow. About the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. We know, first off, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help us be better witnesses of Jesus Christ. Not to make us goofy. If there's anything I ever want you to understand, it is that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to help you be a witness. Not to make you stupid. Not to make you look stupid. Because if there's anything I've learned about the Holy Spirit is, He'll make you look smart. He really will. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you look stupid. All the gifts of God come together not to make us goofy, but to make us more intelligent. I'm not this smart. I hated school. I hated studying. It's the Holy Spirit. Honestly, if you'd have said, okay, you know, you're going to, you know, someday you're going to be up preaching and teaching, I'd have said, you're nuts. I don't want to give that much time to the thought that it requires. And lo and behold, here I am. To which I will testify again, it is not me, it is the Holy Spirit. Especially without notes. But you see, through time, shortly after Pentecost, you know, well, even during the day of Pentecost, all those are just drunkards. They're just drunk. At 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, back then, it was really an uncommon thing. Now, growing up the way, you know, some of you grew up in the same households I did, it wasn't uncommon. That's when you started drinking again. And, yeah, that's, we just saw it as a normal part of life. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit started getting a bad rap. People started blaming their stupidity and their goofiness on the Holy Spirit. I've heard of churches where strangers have gone in and people are barking like dogs. Okay, that's not the Holy Spirit. If this were a room full of Marines, I would expect you to bark like a dog. Okay? It's just what we do. You're a room full of Spirit-filled believers. who are not goofy, who don't need to bark like a dog. So why does the church berate the gifts like that? When we do stuff like that, we actually show the world we really don't respect the gifts of God. Because the gifts of God, there's multiple things that God has. And some of the, in my opinion, some of the errant teaching of the church has been, you need to manifest all these gifts. You got to operate in all of them. That's not the role the Holy Spirit plays. The Holy Spirit does not, and I'm going to show you some things here. Let me grab my, as soon as I remember where I put them. Okay, I had to turn my back. As we open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As I've been, most of my study time is actually spent, I read, and then I go spend time with God, whatever I'm doing. And I keep chewing and chewing and chewing, going over that word, getting as much out of it as I can. And God keeps showing me things. And one of the things he showed me is, okay, we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit here in 12. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the chapter of love. Then we go to 14, he starts talking about the Holy Spirit again. And there's some things that I've been seeing and I've been watching. It's like, God, there's a reason you talk about love in between the talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to get there. I'm not in a hurry. I want people to understand more than anything. If I have to repeat something 10 times, 10 different ways, so that 10 different people can get it, we will do that. Okay? Because the first thing Paul says here in chapter 12, verse 1 is, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. We always use the word ignorant as something that was bad. You ignorant cuss. Being ignorant wasn't a bad thing. It was just you didn't know. If you go into certain towns and you violate their laws, what is the overruling law? Ignorance is no excuse. You still broke. When I got a ticket for jaywalking in Mount Vernon, on all I did was got out of the car on the square and walked to the back of another car, 3 seconds, I got a $50 ticket. 3 seconds. They had just passed the law because they didn't want cruisers. People. I thought, well, that's just kind of stupid. At least you know where they're at. Now we don't know where they're at because you ran them all out in the country and they're doing God knows what. At least here on the square, the police can monitor. It never was a big deal to me. Ooh, they squealed their tires. Man, that's better than driving through the farmer's field. Oh, but that's fun. Yeah, you just took out how many bushels of corn? It takes a lot of money to make that stuff. Anyhow, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You declare Jesus is Lord because of the Holy Spirit, not any other reason. There are diversities of gifts, meaning many different ones, but the same Spirit. It's all the same Spirit. We all have different natural gifts and abilities, but we were created by the same God. The same. We could have crossing ones, but our dominant ones are different. And God does not want us to think that there's different gods. It's one God. He's multifaceted, folks. That's why he's called multifaceted. You look at a diamond, the reason they cut them with multiple facets is because you can see different colors in each angle. It's a whole new angle. It's a whole new look that you can see through. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are ministries whose purpose are different. Not everybody's purpose is the same as ours. I know many people, well, Pastor, what are you doing? What are you doing? You don't have this outreach. You don't have that outreach. You don't have this outreach. No, but you know what we do do? We provide money for this outreach, that outreach, and this outreach. I don't believe in recreating the wheel. Somebody's already got it going. They just need money. Years ago, there was a man that came to the church we were attending, and he did a message, and he started praying for people. And over time, I actually learned that whatever book he just recently read, that's how he goes. However, he went around to people telling them, you're called to be a banker for God. Well, a lot of people misunderstood what being a banker for God is. Bankers provide you with sources, true bankers. They will help you make money. That's what being a banker for God is. We take and we provide money for some of these other ministries. The clothes closet, Heartbeat, the garage that the Enterprise Baptist Church operates, the food pantry they operate. They've got a good thing going. Why do I need to compete? Well, you know, Pastor, you need people coming to your church for that. They don't come to my church for that. They come on one day to get food and clothes and leave. Well, that's an opportunity for you to share the gospel. That's an opportunity for them to be religious, throw up those walls, let everything bounce off. I would rather be a little more stealthy. I would rather be with them somewhere and them have no clue who I am. And be able to talk to them and get through past the religious walls they throw up. It is a hilarious thing. As soon as people find out I'm a pastor, they get religious. They may have just told me about their live-in boyfriend or girlfriend and all the sin they do. Oh, by the way, what do? I'm a pastor. Oh, praise Jesus, hallelujah. Does your mama know you're living with that person? They get religious. Well, Pastor, sounds like you'd rather be a little undercover. Yes, I would. Thank you very much. I was taught much in the art of camouflage. When I sit in a tree stand, my goal is not to be seen. And thanks to deer having really sensitive noses, I can't be smelled either. And that is the pain. I got to shower and stuff that removes scent, and then I got to spray myself with stuff that smells like dirt. Don't ever use deer urine. I did it once. It didn't come off real well. And after I've watched a few videos, I won't ever do it again. Guys being attacked by deer. I would rather be the person that is standing there who can actually help somebody than the person that walks in with my collar or whatever, or my tag, it says my big cross, as I was told I need to be wearing a big cross one time by a man who I've actually lost respect for after that statement, because I need to have a cross. I'm a preacher. You can ask my family. We don't have one cross hanging in the house. There's no crosses on my cars. No crosses anywhere. Well, you know, that's a symbol of Christianity. Well, back in the day, it was a symbol of shame. Thousands and thousands of people were crucified on a cross. It's no different than us holding a hangman's noose. Seriously. Or an electric chair. I don't want a symbol to be the representative of Christ. I want to be the representative of Christ. That's why there are no crosses on this building. I don't want them to look at the building, oh, there's a Christian church. I want them to say, there's a Christian. Their life speaks for them, not the cross around your neck, for crying out loud. How many sinners and purity rotten heathens do you know wearing crosses? I can think of a few of them. One of them even said, I just like a naked man hanging around my neck. Anyhow, so diversities of churches. Boy, that was a rabbit trail. Diversities of ministries, but it's the same spirit. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, I want you to understand something. The activities. I've talked a lot about being slain in the Spirit and how I'm not moved whether you got touched by the Holy Spirit, whether you went out in the Spirit or not. It is not ever mentioned in the Bible, but here's what, this is where it comes in. This verse right here. There are diversity of activities. In other words, the Holy Spirit can move the same way. Or he can do something different. He might have you crying. He might have you laughing. He might have Harold standing in a corner catatonic. Who knows? The Holy Spirit knows us individually and what we need. During that, what we call the laughing revival, my wife was very sensitive to that, and she was more accepting of it. I needed that kind of stuff. But I love to laugh. I love to make people laugh. But she's the one who God moved through that. Whenever I was slain in the Spirit during that time, I didn't lay and laugh. Just a couple times maybe, just a little bit. And then I'd get back up. Well, Pastor, God didn't minister to you. Yeah, he did. He ministered to me the way I needed it, not the way she needed it. She needed that. I think God was letting her laugh because of the crap we was going to have to deal with a few years later. And in fact, she was married to me. But the reason being, we don't know. I just know God ministered to her one way, me another way, through the same meeting. One person might, as I said, might cry. There were people that would cry. They didn't know why they were crying. And it's not because they had that PBA. They were moved by the Holy Spirit and they cried, they wept. I saw one man. He was very, very skeptical. If I was skeptic, he was my idol, okay? He wasn't even saved. And he came to the meeting, and I was in the sound booth, and I remember seeing that man run around. This was a bowling alley. It was a large bowling alley, so it's big, flat, running around that building, yelling, "I'm on fire." The hilarious part was he was a fireman. God's got a sense of humor. That man got saved, radically saved, because he had come that night, told his wife, "I'm coming." And if God does not do something, you will never come back to this church again, or we're divorced. I don't remember them even touching him. The Holy Spirit came upon him and moved. And man had no choice. He thought he was on fire. Radically saved. Different activities. We don't know what God's going to do. We don't know what it's going to take. It's the same Holy Spirit. God will move however God needs to move in your life to get your attention. You got to learn to start trusting him. Oh, but Pastor, I just wish my children wouldn't have to do experience the stuff I did. Are you saved? Yeah. Did God not see you through it? Yeah. Do you love and trust God? Yeah. Do you want your children to love and trust God? Yeah. Let God have them. That's why when I tell people, put your children in God's hands and quit taking them out. Oh, but I got to come in and rescue them. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was I couldn't get out of a contract. Mommy and Daddy couldn't come and say, "Well, you can quit." They always did that with everything. You can just quit. You do know there's no quitting a government contract. It ain't happening. I even tried to go reserves. I'll keep my contract. I just want to go be a weekend warrior. That wasn't happening. They said, "No way, Jose. We got you full time. At the end of 4 years, you want to go reserves? You can do it." At the end of 4 years, I said, "Sayonara." So there's different workings. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, the profit of all, you may say, well, I didn't get anything out of her laughing. Not then you didn't. You're receiving it now. Whatever God did in her then, you are now receiving the benefit of what he did to your profit. What God did in me, you are now receiving the benefit. So it is to the profit of all. Whatever God did in you, we now receive the benefit. Okay? And I'm going to tell you again, folks, God doesn't always have to slay people out in the spirit. He doesn't. And you do not have to be Pentecostal charismatic. Every time Gabriel would come, we had this gentleman from, he was a Baptist. He made sure we knew he was Baptist and what church he went to. And we never had enough ushers, so I would come out of the sound booth and would usher and catch people. And I can't tell you how many times I missed this guy. This guy didn't fall as most people did. He dropped like a pile of rocks right there. You're standing there ready. He's gone. Never got hurt. There just wasn't no catching him. I don't know what God did in that man, but I pray whatever he took back, he is changing people's lives. I got an itch on the end of my nose. For to one, the word of wisdom through the Spirit. The word of wisdom is a spiritual utterance at a given moment through the way of through the Spirit, supernaturally disclosing the mind, purpose, and the way of God as applied to a specific situation. So in other words, God may tell me, say, Richard, I don't know why, but God says this. And give him specific instruction on something that Richard knows what I'm talking about. Now, the word of knowledge is very similar as well. It's all supernatural. God will give you details so that people will believe and understand. There have been times I've prayed for certain situations, not knowing the whole situation, and things I've prayed and revealed through that prayer, people came and said, how did you know about this? I didn't. That's the Holy Spirit confirming that he's listening, that he sees the situation. So we have, and to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Two different gifts, same Spirit. To another, faith. Well, Pastor, we all got faith. No, you need to understand, this is the type of faith Jesus was pushing his disciples to achieve. They had faith. You need to understand that. They had faith. Jesus always said it only takes a little bit, right? But yet, Peter got out of the boat, and Jesus said, where's your faith? I'd have been like, I got out of the boat, remember, dude? What are you talking about? He was trying to push Peter to another realm of faith that he walked in. It was a faith that said, I will go there regardless of what I see, what I know. It's the kind of faith that tells you to walk into a biker bar and walk up to the biggest, baddest guy and say, I love you. If you can sit here and say, well, that don't mean, listen, I grew up around people, biker gangs, not just these, you know, two or three guys riding together. They wore jackets and the whole thing and beat each other up and killed and did drugs. And that was some of my family, okay? And I've seen this kind of garbage. You don't walk up into a biker bar and find the meanest guy in there and tell him you love him. Because they will kill you and not think twice about it. They will find your body in the bottom of a mine shaft somewhere. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, first off, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the courage to do it. You don't have to be the size of Kyle. You can be my size. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you do it and watch what happens. Watch what God will do. Because many times, even the biggest, baddest bikers are hurting. And they need Jesus too. And they're crying out. But they can't let it out out here. They got a reputation to uphold. But when God breaks them, things will happen. Or God, you know, just as us, God told us, we were happy. I love warmer weather. Do you understand that? Granted, I think North Carolina has had more winter than we have. But I enjoyed it down there. I like the beach. My wife loves nautical stuff. How much better did it get for her? Lighthouses right down the road. Everywhere we went, there was water, seafood. We enjoyed being there. And then God told us to uproot. First off, after I said, I will never stay in this county, this place stinks. It literally did. If you've ever been in a swamp, it smells like sewage all the time. I said, I hate this town. It wasn't long after that. Man, this is our town. We love this town. This is our town. And then God says, why don't you go back to Ohio? The one place I said, I'm not going back. I don't know if I ever said never, but be careful when you say never. God has a way sometimes making you eat that nasty little word. We left our jobs, our apartment that was just remodeled for us. We left a great situation to come back to a place where we didn't have a home. We didn't have a job. We had our health care covered for Joshua, for his birth. He was covered. We lost all of that. The week we were moving, with no job, no house, no nothing, I got a call. Can you come in for a job interview? I can be there Tuesday. A job I was not qualified for. I'd never painted buses. But God gave me favor with the plant manager. All because I was a Marine. That's it. That was the only reason I got the job. Because he was Army. He didn't owe me anything. And if he knew Marines, we really weren't ever accused of being too smart. But he said, you're a Marine, you'll figure it out. Lo and behold, and I'm going to tell you folks, God began to move. We found a house. Wasn't the prettiest house, but it was a house. We had the job. We learned to step out in faith where there are no steps. That's the kind of faith that he's talking about. Well, I hope you do get it. Because that kind of faith is why we were able to start this church. That kind of faith is why we're able to keep pushing you and encouraging you. Yeah, it may seem like you're spinning your wheels. Don't you think we see that too? And it feels like we're spinning our wheels. But when I see people step out and go a little further and push themselves out of a cocoon, out of a shell that has encompassed them, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen out there. You don't know what's going to happen in this world. I'm not worried about any of it. Well, Pastor, don't you know? I mean, I'm just being serious. Some nut job in Russia could push one button and it's all over. Jesse comes and tells me these facts about the nuclear bombs we've got today and how much more powerful they are than Hiroshima. And the Tsar bomb that the Russians set off was devastating. Now I'm depressed. Well, just look at it this way. If it does happen, poof, you're gone. Paul said to be absent from here is to be present with the Lord. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, we're worried so much about stuff, man. Folks, seriously. A 747 could fall right now out of the sky and land in this building. What are you worried about? Telling somebody you love them? Showing somebody some kindness? Well, they might not like me. They might reject me. Get used to rejection. When you embrace rejection, I'm not saying you strive to obtain it. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm saying you don't let it bother you. Don't let somebody's rejection of Jesus, remember, they're rejecting Jesus. And if they don't want your kindness, you still give it. That's the kind of faith. By the same Spirit to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Healing. Well, yeah, we can all pray for people, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've noticed in my life there are certain things I can pray for people and they're healed. There are. God heals people. I don't know what, cancer? I can't tell you the number of people I've prayed for that had cancer. They had the x-rays. They had everything right there. And then they come back a week later and say, it's not there. Ooh, what, was it a shadow? No, the doctor didn't tell you you had cancer because of a shadow. Your blood test came back positive. I don't know why. I've prayed for people that were, Brenda had was it a nephew? The one up in Toledo or up north there? They called the family in on him. He was dying after an accident. They called all the family in. We prayed. He walked out of the hospital alive and well. I don't know. Never had anybody's ears opened. I've prayed for countless people. That's just not one of those things that I believe God can heal them. It has nothing to do with it. I just noticed there are certain things. When I do pray, things happen. Maybe you're the one called to pray for ears. That's what this is meaning. It's not just talking about, oh, Lord, heal our cough. People got serious problems besides a cold. And whoever's got the gift of sight, please come up here. Because I'm getting tired of this. Can't shoot my guns without glasses. I can't see. And to another, working of miracles. I think changing water to wine was a miracle. Provision. God provides stuff and it always lasts. I've known people. I know one man God told to put a... He went on his way to work. He had a 60-mile one-way round trip. His tank was on empty and he put a piece of tape over top of the gas gauge. This ain't going to work for all of you. Okay? He was a new believer, learning to trust God, and he put that tape over there, drove to Lodi, Ohio, from here, and back on an empty tank. And when he got home, he pulled the tape off and the car ran out of gas. I don't know. God told him to do it, you do it. God tells you to do something crazy, do it. You'll have a testimony of God's provision. I know of one preacher who was praying. The church he was in had actually was doing him wrong. And it was a denominational church in which a board of deacons controlled everything. He wasn't being paid. And he had no food to feed his family. And that night, God told another family, go to your cupboards and take the food out. They did it. The guy told me personally, he said, I was praying at that time. I was still praying when they knocked on my door. And not only did they bring me food, they brought me cash. Those people, I know, have learned a lot about trusting God. Don't be worried about whether you've got $1 million in your bank account. Folks, I'm telling you, when you realize what money really is, it could go away tomorrow, couldn't it? I got a wad of $100 bills. It ain't going nowhere. It's not backed by anything. Your government's word? You know, the same one that told the Native Americans, you know, we won't take any more land from you? We're not going to do that to you. Oh, no, yeah, we're just going to kill you. Yeah, that same government. They're the ones telling you that your money's good. Everybody else wants gold now. No, we'll take gold, thank you. To another prophecy. Again, we're talking prophecy. You could be giving somebody a prophetic word. Whatever it is. And here, when it comes to prophetic words, if God has given you something for somebody, I want you to come to me. I want you to tell me, and then we will go tell them. Well, Pastor, it sounds like you're a little control freak. On this, I will be. Thank you very much. I've seen churches fall apart because of one crazed individual who went around and started giving prophecies to people. And when things didn't happen, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a prophet and God gives you, tells you a timeline, you better go fast and pray that you heard from God when you gave that timeline. Because if it don't happen, you will be marked as a false prophet. That is the word of God. That's in your Bible. I can't tell you how many church services as a child I was in. Preacher would tell my mom, dad, oh, you'll be rich in 6 months. Yeah. Yeah, he drove up in a Cadillac. We all drove up in a 1960s whatever piece of crap that dad could buy for $50. And every dime we had was spent putting gas in to get there. And now he's up there asking for a $100 offering for a better prophecy. By the way, that's a charlatan. Don't be fooled. Use your heads and listen to the Holy Spirit. The church don't want to talk about this stuff, folks. I have no problem talking about it. Because it's abuse of the people of God. And the reason why it's getting away and running rampant is because pastors who are called to protect the sheep are nothing more than hirelings. And when Jesus comes and takes us away, or whether I'm called home on my own, I don't want to hear him say, why didn't you fight? Why didn't you tell them the truth? I want to be like David, you know what I'm saying? I want to grab the bear. I want to grab that lion by his beard and look him in the eyes before I put a knife through the side of his head. Say, you ain't touching them. I know it's a little violent. It's what I see myself. I don't see myself as some little old man. Listen, I may get older, but inside here, I'm still. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm still 18 and mean. Lean and mean. Nowadays, I'm going to have to get the shirt that says, not as lean, not as mean, but still a Marine. So there's prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. This is vitally important, folks. Two things with the discerning of spirits. The first thing is the real spiritual world. We began praying against the drug trade and binding the spirits that are moving this stuff. And then we started praying for opportunities for those people to get their lives changed. And that could come either them getting the revelation or getting caught. God's mercy is God's mercy. And he will do what needs to be done to save a life. That's what we have to understand. He will do what is necessary to get you out of something. He sent angels to get Lot out of Sodom. Angels. The same ones that were called to bring the destruction. He knew how close it was going to be. When we start discerning what the spiritual forces, that's why Paul told us, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We're not fighting against those drug dealers. If there's no need for drugs, the drug dealers go out of business. Right? People are hurting. There's reasons why they're going for this stuff. They've got holes that need to be filled in their heart and their soul, and they've got to be filled, and only God can do that. God can be whatever to them. That is what I love about the movie The Shack and even the book. God knew he didn't need a father figure. And he revealed himself as the mother, the tender. God knows exactly what you need, and he knows how to get you out of a situation. Don't ever look and say, well, God didn't love me. Oh, for crying out loud, God loved me enough, he sent me to the Marines. And then wouldn't let me go fight. It happened. So there I go. But, so we have the spiritual world that we're discerning. That's why Paul said, we do not wrestle with these people. We wrestle with the spirits. When we can discern the spiritual forces that are in charge of things, we can move mountains. Daniel, he prayed and prayed and prayed. He was waiting for a reply back from God, and the angel that was supposed to bring it, Michael, said, I've been fighting against the prince of Persia for 21 days. I have been fighting to get here. If Daniel had understood the spiritual realm, here's a prophet who God used mightily, who did not understand the spiritual realm, who did not have the benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit to pray against the forces, stopping the reply. We have that Holy Spirit that can say, here's the purpose, here's what is doing it. Here's the secret backing. Here are the people who are fueling this. All this garbage against our president is being fueled by a spirit to continue creating division. Because we do understand one thing. United we stand, divided we fall. Russia and China are just waiting for us to fall. It's no secret they have longed for a very, very long time to take our country. And that's why the two of them are testing us. That is why they've had spy ships right off our coast. That is why their planes are buzzing our ships. And you've got to pray for wisdom for our president, because if it were me, I'd have probably already told him to send another ship within range. There's a Patriot missile coming your way. We'll bring your planes down. But we know what that could cause. Hello, World War III. If you think World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, and all the stuff we've had on with Iraqi freedom and enduring freedom have been devastating to the world, just wait. We've got weapons out there, folks, that are just so devastating. We haven't even unleashed them yet. We're afraid to. And it's not just them. We've got them. So that's why we need to pray about the spirits that are ruling these things. Now, the discerning of spirits. God can also show you the true motives of why somebody is acting the way they are. Somebody comes at you and they're mad as a hornet and they're just going off on you. And you're like, what did I do? If you will keep calm and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you, you can say the right words. Diffuse the whole time bomb. By listening to God, he can say, I can show you what's going on. And be brave enough to say what needs to be said. That's a discerning of the spirits. The true motives of what's going on behind somebody. why they're acting the way they're acting. And I'll be honest with you, even with the drug trade, a lot of it's greed. That's what a lot of it is. I've talked with people and they've told me, oh yeah, this person here, they were dealing coke and this one, and they showed me wads of cash. For a lot of them, it's just money. Just like all your rock bands that everybody, all Christians get their panties in a wad about going, we're going to go protest this group. They're devil worshipers, you know. They got all these satanic symbols in their stuff. And I read an interview of a guy who toured as a reporter with the group Slayer. At the time, they were considered to be the most demonic group out there. Pentagrams everywhere. They've got, you know, they were just living it up. The guy said, I didn't know what to expect. I think he was for Rolling Stone, who the reporter was for. And he said, I get in there, we go to the concert, we come back, we all get back on the bus. One guy goes over, pulls up his Nintendo, starts playing video games. The other guy gets on the phone, calls his kids. And he looks around and he says, guys, what about the devil worship stuff? One guy looked at him and said, dude, it's just an act. People will buy our albums because of it. Most of you are old enough to remember Kiss back in the day. What I love, and I think it's hilarious, I saw something the other day at the school. They had the teachers dressing up, and the one teacher was dressed as Gene Simmons. It was actually kind of funny. But see, the teacher was giving the rock salute. You know, we call it the devil salute. It's a rock salute. However, every picture I have seen of Gene Simmons, he's giving this. Y'all know what that means. I love you. He's not giving the rock salute. He's giving I love you. Now, I don't condone his life, obviously. He's one of the most hedonistic people out there. But their whole thing was, and especially if you listen to the music and by comparison to what they looked like, you'd expect Rob Zombie over here and you get Beth. How did that come out of that? I don't know. No, Beth's right here, but had to address it. But you see what I'm saying? There's a discerning of spirits. People have gone after things. Instead of understanding, okay, why are we doing this? That's why I don't go protest movies. The church rallied up, let's go protest this movie. There's so much nudity in it and sex. And so the churches were picketing the thing. People went to see what they were picketing. And they came out and said, can I get my life back? It was an awful movie. I just went to see it because you were picketing it. If the church had been praying about it, it would have just fell to the wayside. But no, we got to waste our time and look like we're morons by picketing that. Now, I ain't saying that everything is harmless. I'm just saying if we're smarter about it and listen to the Holy Spirit on how to deal with it, there's a smart way to do things and a dumb way to do things. And I spent most of my life doing things the dumb way. I would, for once, like to try the smart way, the easier way. That's why I'm all for buying the right tools these days. I remember my ag teacher in high school, Mr. Cooper, he always told us, he said, use the right tool for the right job. And we were working on small engines. And I needed a hammer to tap on something. Somebody else had it. We didn't have many tools, but somebody else had the hammer. I had a crescent wrench. I'm over here beating on the thing with the crescent wrench. And he walked up. He says, Arthur, boy, I'm going to snatch you bald-headed. Go get the hammer. Today, I ain't going to lie, I still use my crescent wrench as a hammer. In a pinch. I call it improvising, adapting, and overcoming. But I've also learned get the right tools for the job, and the job goes so much easier and better. Discern the spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of those tongues. Now, I'm not going to camp out here because there's a whole other section on this. But tongues, we are indeed speaking of a prayer language. Tongues, multiple, plural. There is a prayer language. There is a tongue that is brought forth in a church service. It must be interpreted. That is scripture. That is not my interpretation of it. Paul says, if there is indeed a tongue, it must be interpreted. Otherwise, if there is no interpreter, keep quiet. We'll read about that next week. But tongues have a purpose. Tongues are also a language that is developed. Not just suddenly, boom, how many of you, when you were a year and a half to 2 years old, you just came out and you started singing supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? There are adults that still can't say that, and I barely got it off. No, it's a language. You learn to speak the language. When Justin was little, he used to call Karen Kai Kai. And those of you who remember Justin when he was little, we swore up and down he was Dutch. He spoke his own language. He knew what he was saying, though. That is what's scary. He would look at you with intent and couldn't figure out why you didn't know what he was talking about. And he was of an age where most children are actually speaking English. We're just not certain. Maybe he just had tongues. It was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. But over time, he grew into the language. He speaks English fine. Same thing with tongues. It'll start out baby talk. It'll start babbling. But one thing I have learned, and like I said, I got to continue flowing in the realm of what Paul wrote in here. When you start talking and praying in tongues, it starts out a babble. But if you realize it's a heavenly prayer language, inflections will change. Your intent will change. Just as mine does when I'm speaking to you in my language. Now, there is the same inflections. And even the same butchering of English words. If you know preachers, you know we love to do that. What I'm saying is there, it's a progress. You keep moving. You start off. And then you keep growing and growing and growing and maturing in it. I'm going to show you some things next week. We're going to end here today. But I'm going to show you some things about what Paul said about being a child. That's coming up. See, when I was a child, I talked as a child. I understood as a child. He said, I'm no longer a child. It's time to put away childish things. We understand all of this. We will grow exponentially. There's some things, and like I said, I cannot help believe that the Holy Spirit was just resting upon Paul when he was writing this book, this letter, actually. Because he's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then he starts talking about love. Love is vital to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Vital. I want to show you, share some things with you that God's doing in me. You know, like I said before, God has changed me so much, I didn't care about people. You can ask my wife. I really didn't give a rat's butt about anybody else. I wouldn't go out intentionally to harm somebody. But hey, I didn't care. I didn't start the church because I cared. We started the church because God told me and she cared. She cared about the other people. Now, I've come to care. And there's not a one of you that I wouldn't stand in front of if somebody's trying to harm you. Even if it's the devil. I ain't afraid of the devil. He ain't this big goat creature with muscles and horns and snaggly teeth. He's a wimp. And it's not because I'm so tough and bad. When it boils down to it, I will actually try to talk my way out of a fight before getting involved in it. I really don't like the fight. It hurts. I don't care if you're giving or receiving. Unless you're the one holding the baseball bat. But don't. Yeah, we just got to stop. There's just so much I got to tell you more about what God's been showing me, even in my own life. Like I said, the last several months, He's been working on me on things. And I'm trying to change those things and work on them. But it's only through His help, and it's only been because I started understanding that God's gifts, first off, are there for my benefit. They're not there to make me look stupid. And I'm just still one of those guys. I would rather people think I'm a fool than to open my mouth and remove all doubt. I'll just stand back and listen. I hate debating. I'm right, you're wrong. No. There is a t-shirt I've thought about getting that says, I'm a Marine, let's just assume I'm right and we'll get along. But God's cared enough to send His Holy Spirit to help us, folks, not to harm us. And when you understand the power that you have through the Holy Spirit in the lives of your family, your church family, man, God may drop something and say, you know, pray for Joshua. Or God, I don't know what to pray for. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. You don't know what. I can't tell you how many times God has told me to pray for somebody. Y'all remember, there's a time in life when we used to, when our Sunday prayer was an hour. We had a list, we'd pray, and then God started opening my eyes, revelation of things. But there was one Sunday evening, I was praying, and we was in the other building, and I just laid down on the platform up there behind the pulpit, and I prayed that whole hour in tongues, and didn't have a clue what I was praying about. And then I felt it lift. And it was that week I learned that another minister, his wife had gone into labor. And at that exact hour, she was having complications. I think she had twins, and they were complicated. And they were afraid they were going to lose him. He was just somebody I'd met. I just met him. And God put me down to pray for him. Everything worked out. Babies came alive and well. Mama survived alive and well. You never know. And I didn't know who I was praying for. I just knew I had this burden to pray for somebody. You don't know. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. All right, let's stand. I want to tell you something, folks. God's no respecter of people. You know I have to use myself as the example, okay? I know, and I will use some of you from time to time, and I know sometimes, oh, what's pastor going to say about me? What's he going to share about me? I'll try not to share anything embarrassing. Unless you're my family, then all bets are off. But everything that God has done in me, he can do in you and will do in you. But I'm not going to lie to you, folks. It's a rough road. It's not the easy road. It's the road where you have to sometimes look in the mirror and call yourself what you are. And it's usually not a nice name. You have to address and face up to things. You know, like I said, when we started the church, I thought, oh boy, yeah, man, you can ask Angela, I had changed so much from the time we got married to when we started this church. And I thought, yeah, all right, man, all right. I'm going to tell you, no, I ain't nearly the same guy 16 years ago. Not the same person. Because God has continued this work. And I've got a little ways to go yet. I don't know how much further. I guess when I'm pushing up daisies, we'll know. But he will do the same work he promised. He's no respecter of persons. I don't care what your background is, folks. I don't care where you are right now. Like I said, when I left home at 19, I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with church. I didn't care about gifts of the Holy Spirit. I didn't care about telling people about him. I didn't care. I didn't care to pray for people. I got a little religious. But in the long run, God started taking that and breaking me. But it was only because of the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. He'll do it in you. You can change. And by the way, I'm going to just say this. When I say I have no fear, I'm not saying you don't feel afraid. Everybody feels that. Everybody feels a little afraid. When you no longer have a little bit of that fear, you're dangerous. You will die in whatever it is you're doing. Guys that are in combat, when they lose all fear, they do stupid stuff. Fear is what keeps your head down, helps you stay in control of the situation. Nobody says, I'm going to go recklessly and go off and attack the devil. Man, why do you think I'm only going after what God told me to go after? There is such a thing as biting off too big of a chunk. You can't handle what the devil's going to throw at you. He knows exactly where it came from. But you can't be afraid of the reprisals. God's bigger than that. God told you to do something. God will see you through it. God will hold your hand. He'll carry you. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are truly grateful for the gift of your Holy Spirit to live within us. Father, I pray now that you help us all to listen and tune in closer to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for these people. Lord, I know there are some who are still dealing with hurts and wounds. Lord, I pray right now that you heal them. Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, begin to break through the wall that they've erected. Lord, inside that heart, inside that chest, beats a heart that wants to love, that wants everything you've got, but has been wounded. Heal it. Touch this person, Lord. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord. I bless the work of their hands this week, Father, that all that they do for good shall prosper. Lord, that you will open eyes to the traps the enemy is laying for them, and that you will work situations that have been devised against them to their favor. In Jesus' name, amen.